please remain standing?
Jana will be reading today's scripture from Exodus chapter 20, verse 15.
This is really long. You shall not steal.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Well, Alan and I had a request for a particular song this week. Kind of caught us off guard. A lot of my requests are shut up and go away, but we had a request for a particular song, and it's one that I like to do. So here we go with On the Wings of a Dove. When troubles surround us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When things beset us, God doesn't forget us. He sends us His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but wasn't forgotten. God sent him His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the waters that day, He was baptized in the usual way. But when it was done, God blessed His Son. God sent Him His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. All right.
Next week, Mark Perkins is going to be preaching on prayer. Then after that, for the first time, I'll be preaching on the ascension of Christ. Then we'll have Mother's Day and Pentecost. There's a $1 million gap in the Czech Republic's railroad budget thanks to the theft of a 10-ton bridge near the eastern town of Slakov. The bridge burglary is attributed to a train gang who reportedly arrived at Slakov Depot with forged paperwork claiming that the footbridge over this disused railway track had to come down. Railway spokesman Pavel Hala claimed that the thieves said they'd been hired to demolish the bridge and to remove the unwanted railway track to make way for a new cycle route. It was only after they had gone that checks were made and we realized we'd been had. Hala said the cost of replacing the bridge will run into the millions. The thieves then dismantled the bridge and 650 feet of track and presumably are selling it for scrap metal on the black market. On March 2012, an elephant went missing in Texas, and its worried owners are offering a $500 reward for the elephant's return. The Darnell family last saw Bon Baber, if that's how you pronounce him, I'm sorry if I mispronounced the elephant, chained to the front porch of their home on West Avenue F in the city of Garland. He couldn't have escaped on his own because he is a 500-pound bronze statue of an elephant. But although Bon Baber isn't your typical living, breathing pet, the Darnells are still shocked and heartbroken that he'd been stolen, particularly since he was a gift from the wife to her husband. Stealing love. How wrong. What did that elephant ever do to anyone? Apparently, the theft happened in broad daylight. While Beverly was home, the thieves were slick, leaving no tracks or dolly tracks anywhere. No footprints, leading the family to believe that the thieves picked it up and carried it to its new home. But the family isn't looking for revenge. They just want their elephant back and are giving a $500 reward. We have to be careful about how we live. Have you ever considered how easy it is for people to steal on an airplane? Passengers on aircraft are virtual walking safes with the door wide open. They might be traveling with laptops, mobile phones, expensive jewelry, cameras, tablets, passports, and cash-stuffed wallets. Strong's Concordance lists how the Hebrew word for theft is used in the Old Testament. The verb means to carry away, secretly bring, steal away, or get by stealth. So I guess don't be a ninja would apply. God elaborates on this short commandment. This commandment is further developed in Exodus chapters 21 and 22. This is a foundational ethical principle. Stealing includes kidnapping, 21:16, in addition to taking animals, 22:1 and 12, and material things, 22:7. Clearly, the Israelites had a notion of ownership and rightful property for such a command to make sense. Stealing from one's neighbor, as with the seventh commandment, is a threat to society. It breeds distrust and strife. Little explanation is given because little explanation is needed. The law prohibits theft to protect the goods and livelihood of people and to sustain freedom and trust. Stealing is incompatible with living under God's protection, Psalm 50, and is a kind of blasphemy. Proverbs 30. It marks a city as corrupt, Isaiah chapter 1, and brings a curse on the thief and the one who protects him or her, Zechariah chapter 5, Proverbs 29. A person has a right to life, freedom, and property. These rights are to be respected and are enforced by the commandment not to steal. Terrible pain comes from such crimes as kidnapping and slavery. And there are now more people in slavery around the world than at any other time in world history. There are even some slaves working in sweatshops in places like New York. What God is telling his people at this crucial juncture in their young life as a people is, stick to me and you will not relive the horrors of Egypt again. If you ignore my law, although you will not return to Egypt, you will be treated with judgment. The first thing that Israel does after crossing the sea is to rebel by not trusting God's goodness. They complained about the manna. Why do we eat manna every day? Manna in grits, fried manna, grilled manna. Manna a la King, they complained about it. And as the Lord is giving the law to Moses, they erect a golden calf. Over and over again, he shows mercy, but they turn away. J. Duncan expresses it this way. If we really believe in God's providence, if we really believe that our neighbor is made in the image of God, if we really care about our community more than about ourselves, then we will never distrust God's providence so as to take from someone else something that does not belong to us. We'll never steal from our neighbor or provide for our own. We will never do injury to our neighbor's welfare, knowing that he or she is an image bearer, someone made in the image of God. Knowing that the sin is against the community, knowing that God provides for us. Theft can take many forms. Illegally downloading or copying music or movies is theft. Cheating on taxes is theft. Charging unjust interest rates or unfair rents is theft. Not contributing to the kingdom of God is theft. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 20. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. My son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's right, Jackson. And that's right, all of us who have parents as well. How does this commandment apply to our lives? If we're not thieves, how does this passage affect us? The Lord calls upon us to be gracious and generous. That's the opposite of being a thief. Instead of greed and theft, we should be known as Christians by our love. Jesus over and over and over again talked about generosity and helping others. It is our lifestyle. It is our calling card. Our kindness and love are the two greatest witnesses we share to the world. We live in a jaded society. There's a lot of distrust in our culture. Talk is cheap. But what people care about is someone that will sacrifice for them and show them love. Our attitudes, behaviors, and thoughts should imitate those of Jesus. People should know we're Christians by our mercy. Even giving a cup of cold water to the orphan, the poor, or the widow is giving of ourselves to God. Theft is an indication of greed and selfishness. Jesus calls us to build others up. Zig Ziglar tells of a thief, a man named Emmanuel Ninger. The year is 1887. The scene is a small neighborhood grocery store. Mr. Ninger is buying some turnip greens. He gives the clerk a $20 bill. As the clerk begins to put the money in the cash drawer to give Mr. Ninger his change, she notices some of the ink from the $20 bill is coming off on her fingers, which are damp from the turnip greens. She looks at him, a man she has known for years. She looks at the smudged bill. This man is a trusted friend. She has known him all her life. He can't be a counterfeiter. She gives him his change, and he leaves the store. But $20 is a lot of money in 1887. And eventually, the clerk calls the police. They verify the bill as counterfeit and get a search warrant to look through his home. In the attic, they find that he is reproducing money. He's a master artist and is painting $20 bills with brushes and paint. But also in the attic, they find three portraits that he had painted. They seized these and eventually sold them at an auction for $16,000 in 1887 money. or a little more than $5,000 for painting. The irony is that took him almost as long to paint a $20 bill as it did for him to paint a $5,000 painting. The only person that he hurt was himself. Debbie Holloway explains how we are called to be generous. There are two aspects of generosity. First, and the one that comes to mind for many of us when we hear the command to give, is the material sense. For as James exhorts, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? The Bible has verse after verse reminding us that living with love means giving with love. But generosity isn't just about dollars and cents. If we follow the example of Christ and other biblical figures, we learn that being generous means living with an other-focused, self-sacrificing spirit. It means living with kindness, encouraging others, and offering our good works to one another. Jackie Robinson was the first black man to play baseball, to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. While playing one day at his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. The fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered his own fans. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. The Lord calls us to be holy. Exodus 19:6. God saved and made a covenant with his ancient people to be holy. The Lord told us in Leviticus and in 1 Peter to be holy as I am holy. To be holy is to be pure without blemish. To be holy is to be set apart to God. We are called by the unchanging standards of our God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The very character of the Lord is expressed in the Ten Commandments of our glorious and saving God. As the Lord is holy, we too are to take up that mantle. We too, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved by Jesus, adopted by Jesus, loved by the Father, are to be holy as well, and to redeem the time, as Paul says, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. R.C. Sproul gives us a simple way to remember holiness. The first prayer I learned as a child was the simple table grace. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. The two virtues of God in this prayer, that God is great and God is good, describe God's holiness. He is other than us. He is high and lifted up, and he is perfectly, infinitely good. The Lord calls us to be fair and honest with each other. Theft erodes the trust we have in people. One woman noticed, my sister once worked at a supermarket, and there was this shady-looking fellow walking around in a novelty 10-gallon hat. Obviously, this was not Texas. Upon closer inspection of this fellow, my sister noticed that he had blood streaks pouring down his face. She alerted the manager, who then asked the blood-streaked man to remove his hat. On top of his head was an entire pot roast. We are to be honest in our dealings with others. When we remember that we are serving the God of truth, we realize that he doesn't approve verbal manipulation. He does not approve half-truths. He does not approve us taking advantage of another person. How many times a day do our words match our intentions? We may not give a second thought at all the little ways we deceive, but we should if we want to be God's people of integrity. And anytime I preach at you, I'm preaching back at me as well. 1 Peter 3:10 through 12. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We have a choice. The Lord is giving us a choice in how we will live. Tim Keller wrote, "To become wise is to become a disciplined person, given not to impulsiveness, but to self-examination, to circumspection, and to clear thinking. It is to become a resilient person who through hard knocks has become poised and resourceful. How do we handle it when our finances are not there? How do we handle it when our health is failing? How do we handle it when we lose a loved one or a loved one's health is fading away? That is the true test of our integrity and the true test of how much we trust God. As an athlete becomes physically competent only after rigorous training, so wisdom is hard won. You do not earn wisdom from a microwave. You don't earn it from a 6-minute ab show. You don't learn it from a self-help book. We learn wisdom by reading the Psalms and the Proverbs, by walking with God, by praying, by studying Scripture, by spending time with other Christians, by serving others, by worshiping God. Please think about one way this week you can become more honest with people. Please consider one way that you can treat people better. Also, think about who in your life builds you up. Who encourages you to do the right things? Please spend time with those people who help you mature as a person and who love you. And now for our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory in great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.